When I was a kid, the thing that intrigued me most about Santa wasn't the beard, or the flying reindeer, or the repeated breaking and entering. No, I was fascinated by his workshop. I love to imagine elves working tirelessly on toys that would end up under Christmas trees around the world, but you know, I never once imagined them making the season's hottest toys. Instead, I pictured Santa's little helpers building toys with good old-fashioned wood and glue. I imagined a shop filled with the smell of sawdust and the sound of pop guns. Turns out, my visions looked a lot like what I found in Proctor, West Virginia, the headquarters of the Mountain Craft Shop Company, which has been turning out traditional handmade Appalachian folk toys since the early 1960s. The tree-shaded workshop used to be an elementary school. Now, one side of the building is filled with power saws and a wood lathe, bottles of Elmer's glue, and slabs of locally sourced hardwood. The other side, the shop showroom, is filled with toys your great-grandparents would probably recognize.
I like to tell the kids, you know, can you remember before Walmart and plastics? And there wasn't necessarily a store to go to buy toys. So grandmom or granddad or dad or mom made the toys from what was readily available. Sticks that they found out back, little pieces of wood, pieces of string, little bits of leather.
That's Steve Conlon, who runs the business with his wife Ellie. A few months back, he gave me a tour of the property, which he calls Wetzel County's only amusement park. Putting down his pop gun, Conlon picks up a toy shaped like a capital letter L. He holds it by the short end and whips it around in the air.
We call this a rattle trap, and all this noise is generated from a tongue depressor and this little cogged wheel here. I tell them it sounds better in a van.
Then he picks up that old toy where you try to catch a ball on a string in a cup.
And this actually dates back to 1580 in England. Good for eye-hand coordination.
How long did it take you to get it on the third try?
I should be able to get it on the first try.
Next, he moves over to a low table and palms a handful of marbles, manufactured about 20 miles away at the Marble King factory in Payton City.
We make a variety of marble toys. And this one is interesting. We call it a musical marble tree. It's about 30 inches tall and it has pieces of wood, leaves, that stick out on either side. So there's 30 leaves up and down this tree, and we drop a marble, and the marbles go from one leaf to the next leaf. Makes a wonderful noise, don't you think?
The Conlons make all these toys, and dozens more models, in their tiny shop, which is open to visitors. They also sell their toys in gift shops around West Virginia and surrounding states, and at Tamarack in Beckley. But they did not come to West Virginia to be toy makers. They wanted to be farmers.
Well, we moved here in 1974 from Philadelphia, and we brought with us a couple beehives in the back of the U-Haul truck, and I was just fascinated with bees, and we tried chickens and cows and every other agricultural pursuit, and bees kept kind of rising to the top. So it evolved into us owning a lot of beehives and needing other locations to keep them.
They placed some of their hives on the property of a neighbor named Dick Shinaki. He was a mechanical engineer by trade and worked at the aluminum plant in nearby New Martinsville. But he also taught himself to make traditional folk toys. Research wasn't easy, though.
But very little was really recorded.
This is Shinaki appearing on a West Virginia Department of Culture and History television program back in 1978.
You see, toys were not considered to be anything but trifles all through the ages until just the last few years.
Still, Shinaki forged ahead. He eventually compiled two books on folk toys. He also spun his passion into a small business, the Mountain Craft Shop Company. Shinaki handled all the research, development, marketing, and sales, but, kind of like Kris Kringle himself, turned manufacturing over to a team of elves. Again, here's Steve Conlon.
He actually didn't make any of the toys himself, but he had probably 10 people who were making the different toys at home, people who were buying their farm by making toys to be sold.
Through the years, Shinaki grew the company's inventory to include more than 200 traditional toys. But by 2002, he was getting older and looking to get out of the toy business. So he sold the Mountain Craft Shop Company to an enterprising couple who could keep his legacy alive, his friends the Conlins. Along with the business, the Conlins also got Shinaki's expertise on building folk toys.
It was a manufacturing business and had to learn how to manufacture those toys and had to accumulate a lot of power tools, which is, well, that wasn't painful for a man to do.
To keep manufacturing costs low, they decided to start making most of the toys in-house. The Conlins, who still raise bees and sell honey, get the wood for the toys from trees they harvest on their own property or from logs their neighbors give them. They mill the logs themselves and air dry the lumber in the shop.
Some woods do a lot better at certain things. So yeah, we kind of pick out the woods for their adaptability to the product and also to the beauty. You know, if you use a piece of walnut in a toy, you know, it really makes it stand out. Or if you use some cherry, when I'm turning things on the lathe, cherry is a very nice wood for turning. So we'll use cherry if we're turning.
Many of the toys are incredibly labor-intensive to produce. Take the Jacob's Ladder, for instance. This classic, deceptively simple-looking toy creates the illusion that pieces are click-clacking their way to the bottom of a string of wooden tiles.
Yeah, the Jacob's Ladder has 8 different pieces of wood. So I make the pieces of wood in here, plane them down, sand them.
Steve Conlin's wife Ellie cuts 24 pieces of fabric and then glues those to the wooden tiles to bring the Jacob's Ladder together.
We sell about 1,000 a year, so not too many people want to work for pennies on the hour. If you own your own business, you do that.
That level of commitment and sacrifice is one reason the Conlins are not yet sure who will take over the Mountain Craft Shop Company when they decide to retire.
How will it play out? We don't know yet. I mean, this is the reality of the situation is that we are manufacturing in America. Look around you. Manufacturing in America is, there's a lot of competition.
One thing remains certain, though. The traditional toys the Conlins make have not lost their ability to captivate children. They see it every time they set up a booth at a craft fair.
And kids will just spend minutes out, half an hour there, as long as the parents are willing to stay. And then, of course, there's crying and screaming when it's time to leave. And the savvy parents say, okay, now it's time for ice cream. And the kids go, okay.
When Steve says this, it reminds me of something that happened a few months ago when my wife and I took our 5-year-old little girl to Babcock State Park in southern West Virginia. We told her she could pick out one thing from the gift shop. She perused the whole store but ultimately gravitated toward a shelf near the window where she picked up a Jacob's Ladder made by the Conlins. As we cruised down the interstate headed for home, I noticed I couldn't hear any noise coming from her tablet. Instead, I heard this. Even in this age of screens, toys made of wood and glue still contain some magic. Steve and Ellie Conlin are keeping that magic alive. For Inside Appalachia, I'm Zach Harold in Santa's Workshop. I mean, Proctor, West Virginia.